Welcome to the Catholic Truth Podcast, where we teach and preach the truth of the Catholic faith without compromise and without apology. We want to give you high energy and non-boring Catholicism, where anyone at any time can come to know exactly what the Catholic Church teaches and why. We do apologetics, spirituality, other religions, our culture, and more. Most of all, we want to inspire you, inform you, and help you to know, love, and live your Catholic faith with purpose and passion. We are Catholic Truth. Hello, podcast family. I'm really excited to be here today bringing you this podcast. My name is Brian Mercier, and I am the president of Catholic Truth and your host. And I'm super excited to be here talking about Catholic apologetics, anti-Catholic arguments. Because let's be honest, on Catholic Truth, we get anti-Catholic arguments every single day. We get so many people trying to tell us that the Catholic Church is evil, or that it's wrong, or that it's the Whore of Babylon, or that all Catholics are going to hell. And one of our goals here at Catholic Truth is to help people to know the Catholic faith, to understand it, to clear up their misconceptions, and to clear up the misunderstandings that they have, because that's one of the key ingredients of a good apologist, is to help people see what they don't see and to help them to see the truth. And so in this podcast, we're going to be discussing some of these anti-Catholic arguments. A while back, we had made a couple of videos on ex-Catholics, and since then, many ex-Catholics have come onto our channel and have said that they know their faith better than ever before, better than they ever did in the Catholic Church. But the problem is, they say that Catholics worship Mary, and the Catholics worship the Pope, and they pray to statues, and all of these other myths and misconceptions, which only prove that they never knew their faith to begin with. So in this podcast, I'd like to take just one anti-Catholic, one ex-Catholic who wrote us a long comment in our YouTube section, and we answered it, and I want to give that to you here. So not only you can hear what people are saying against the Catholic Church, but so you can hear how to answer it and how to respond to some of these arguments, just in case you come across them in the future. So here's the comment that he says, and then I'll get into the response that we gave here at Catholic Truth. He says, "The Catholic Church is not a Christian organization, but it's a cult. The teachings of the Catholic Church are just simply not biblical. Catholics claim to be Christians, but yet their customs and their traditions paint a conflicting picture." So let's briefly assess, he says, just a few of the major problems here. And I am a former Catholic, just so you know, who has spent many years in a Catholic school. So please don't tell me that I don't have an understanding of Catholic teaching. So this is actually pretty common for Catholics to try to flaunt their credentials, that they went to a Catholic school or they were Catholic and went to religious education for 8 years. But in reality, that's not really a credential, since most Catholics say they learned nothing about their faith in 8 years. And I've taught in Catholic schools, so I know that most Catholics still don't know their faith even in Catholic schools. But all of that aside, this just proves, I mean, the comments here that he gives prove that he doesn't understand the Catholic Church's position. And what's really sad, just before I finish his comment, what's really sad is none of these ex-Catholics, almost none of them, have read a single book written by a Catholic. They've never read a book explaining the faith written by a Catholic, so they really have no idea what the Catholic Church is or how to answer it. He goes on to say that the crucifix is a big problem, and the problem is twofold. First, it portrays Christ as dead, which he isn't, and Jesus was raised from the dead, and he is alive. Second, it's idolatry to worship an image or a statue. That is clear in the Bible. And yet, if you look at Catholics, Catholics bow down before these statues. They kiss these statues of Christ hanging on the cross. I mean, this is blatant idol worship, he says, which the Bible clearly warns us about. Likewise, he says, priests and nuns are forbidden to marry. The Bible does not forbid people marrying. The Bible itself says, quote, "A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. He also must be temperate, sober-minded, and of good behavior. He must be hospitable and able to teach." And that comes from 1 Timothy 3:2. And he says, "Let deacons also be of one wife, ruling their children and their households." So he goes on to say that this is a choice, which he yells in all capital letters, that is left up to the discretion of the individual. So why does the Catholic Church require priests and nuns to require celibacy and force celibacy upon them when this is not biblical? Even Paul urges us in 1 Corinthians 7 not to have it forced upon them. The third thing he says is blatant idolatry. The Bible warns against idolatry over and over again, and yet the Catholic Church practices it openly. If you walk into any Catholic church, you will find statues of Jesus on the cross, Mary, Joseph, and even images of the saints. As if that's not bad enough, they also idolize the Pope. If bowing down to a man is not idolatry, then I don't know what is. The Bible says you shall not make idols of yourself. Neither carved images nor sacred pillars shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you have anything engraved on a stone in your land, carved out to bow down to, for I am the Lord your God. And that comes from Leviticus 26:1. His last argument is that Catholics pray to dead people. He said, yes, I said it. Mary is dead, all capital letters yelling. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that people should pray to Mary and the saints, or rather, they should ask their deceased relatives and saints to pray for them. But this is absolutely ridiculous. Jesus contradicts this teaching when he says, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. And that comes from John 14:6. He finishes up by saying, Mary and the saints cannot intercede for you. Your deceased relatives cannot intercede for you. Nobody can intercede for you because they're dead. The only way to God is through Jesus. That's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5. He is the only mediator between us and God. So you Catholics, you need to repent before you burn. You Catholics need to come back to Christ. You need to repent of your sins, and you have to accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Mary can't save you. The saints can't save you. Nobody else can save you except Jesus. Repent before it's too late. One thing you'll notice about ex-Catholics and anti-Catholics is their ability to make you feel guilty, to try to bully you into their line of reasoning, to tell you you're going to burn and to use scare tactics. But none of these things are going to work if you don't have true arguments in the first place. So let's respond to some of these arguments. Obviously, we can't respond to every single one, but we can respond to most of them. And here's what we said to this man. The Catholic Church was started by Jesus. It was the first and original Christian church. It's the only church that can trace its lineage back to the first century. And so here are the answers that we have for you, Mr. Anti-Catholic. You had mentioned the cross or the crucifix, and that it's worship and idolatry to have Christ on the crucifix because he's alive and you have him portrayed there as dead. But here's the problem with that, Mr. Anti-Catholic. Paul, in the Bible, the same Bible that you quoted to us, says that, quote, we preach Christ crucified. That is what the crucifix does. It preaches Christ crucified. So it is a symbol proclaiming God's love for us and to the world. Countless people were crucified on crosses in the ancient days. It was a generic torture device, and many people were crucified upon it. This wasn't just something devoted just to Jesus. In fact, the Romans crucified 2,000 Spartans down the Appian Way of Rome at one time. So the point is that the cross is just a torture device that many, many, many people were executed on. So when the corpse of Christ is added to the cross, it then is transformed from just a meager torture device that many people were killed on to a symbol of love that is distinctive to the Christian faith, and it takes on a meaning that is different than everyone else who is crucified. It reminds us of how much Christ loves us and what he did for us. So, of course, Christ is alive, and we know that, which is why we also have crosses without Christ on it. But we remember his death and all he did for us on the cross and for our salvation, just as Paul did. As a side note, we have a whole video on this topic if you're interested in it. If you desire more information, just go to our YouTube channel, Catholic Truth, and check out our video, Cross or Crucifix, and we go into a lot more detail. The second thing we want to talk about that he had mentioned is celibacy and giving priests a choice. In fact, the Bible says you're not supposed to force celibacy upon anybody. We agree. This is true. It is a choice. Here's the reality, though. Here's what most anti-Catholics don't understand that anyone becoming a priest or a nun or a religious, they choose to be part of that vocation freely. And they freely choose to be celibate. They don't have to take the vow. They don't have to become celibate. They don't have to give themselves exclusively to God. That is a decision that they make because they feel that God is calling them to or because they want to. But the reality is the vow that they take before God is biblical. Many people took vows in the Bible and otherwise, but they're not required to do so. They're not being forced to do so. And as this man rightly points out, both Jesus and Paul recommended celibacy as a higher calling. And we see this in Matthew chapter 19 and 1 Corinthians 7, 8 through 9. Paul recommended it. Jesus recommended it. They said that it's easier to be holy and easier to live for God in some ways being celibate when you don't have the burden of a family life and trying to serve the church at the same time. Talk to any Catholic priest in the East who is married. They say it's extremely hard to have a full-time job serving the church and serving the people of God and to have a full-time job having a family as well. So lastly, I would just say that this man misquoted 1 Timothy 3 above. The verse does not say that you must be married. It says a deacon has to be married to one wife. In other words, not two or three or four, only one. It doesn't say you even have to be married. And anti-Catholics try to make this assertion to try to prove that the Catholic Church is wrong with their celibacy, but the reality is they don't have to be married. So the third thing we're going to talk about is idolatry. And the Catholic Church, here's what anti-Catholics need to know, is that the Catholic Church condemns idolatry, all idolatry. And what is idolatry? It's the worshiping of anything or anyone as God or in place of God. And the Catholic Church condemns this. The Catholic Church says we are only to worship God alone, Jesus alone, because they alone are God. Mary's not God. The Pope's not God, even though other people think that we worship the Pope and Mary and the saints and statues and all sorts of things, but the Catholic Church expressly condemns these things. Just because we make a statue does not mean we worship the statue. Just because we bow down before something or someone does not mean we worship it. I mean, if you have a statue of Martin Luther King Jr. to remember his memory, it's obvious and it's a fact that we're not worshiping it, that it's just a symbolic memory of Martin Luther King and the good that he did while he was on this earth. Likewise, if you have a statue of Jesus or Mary or the saint or a saint of any kind, it's really just a symbolic representation of that person, the life they lived and what they did on this earth. It has nothing to do with worship. Now, I know some Catholics kneel down before statues or they light candles before statues or many other things like that, which may make it seem like it's worship, but the Catholic Church condemns worship of statues or anything that isn't God. So even if a Catholic does worship a statue or Jesus on the cross or something like that, they are wrong to do so because the Catholic Church condemns it. And these Catholics are going against their own faith. But here's the deal. If we actually look at that Bible passage that he quoted us in context, you're going to see that it doesn't say don't make any statues. It says this. It says, you shall not make any idols for yourself. You shall not make a statue or a graven image of any kind, and you shall not bow down and worship it. See, that's the thing. In the ancient pagan nations, they actually made statues in order to worship because they thought that they were gods. That is not true in the Catholic Church. In the Catholic Church, they're just symbolic representations. But in Israel, they oftentimes got caught up in the idolatry of their surrounding countries. And so God would condemn that because they would actually make idols in order to worship them, like the golden calf. They had orgies in front of it, and they had melted all their gold to make it, and they worship this as the true God of the universe. This is absolute idolatry and blasphemy, and nothing can be shown in the Catholic Church to be the same. What anti-Catholics don't realize is that most people couldn't even read until modern day after the time of the printing press. Most people were illiterate. So the reality is that the church told biblical stories using images like statues and stained glass windows and things like that. These were not worship, but they were just reminders of the people that they represented and the holy lives that they lived. And of course, we have a video, as we do in all things, on statues. If you want any more information on this, we have a whole video on statues explaining it. And we have a whole article on bowing and how bowing is not against God. It's not worship. It could be worship, but it doesn't have to be. A particular act is not worship in itself. It depends what's going on behind the act, the intention of the mind, the intention of the heart. And in fact, this guy says that bowing to the Pope or bowing to another person is idolatry. But the reality is, if bowing down to a man is idolatry, then we're in trouble, because King David himself bowed down to his mother in the Bible, in 2 Kings 4:37, a woman bows down to the prophet Elisha. She doesn't worship him. It's a sign of respect. Likewise, in 1 Kings 1:31, Bathsheba bowed her face to the ground to David, and David, in return, did it to her in 1 Kings 2:19. I could list, and we do in our article on our website, thecatholictruth.org, we list time after time in reference after reference in the Bible where people bow to each other as a sign of respect. I mean, even Jesus said that, "I'm going to make those false Jews who say they are Jews but are not, I am going to make them come down and bow before you." So even Jesus knows that bowing does not equal worship. And there are so many, many numerous occurrences of bowing and kissing in the Bible that are not worship. So one cannot just naively assume that just because a person bows before something or kisses is something that it is worship. It's just a sign of respect. In fact, if kissing is an act of worship, then I must worship my wife every single day. And we know that that's not true. Lastly, we want to talk about Mary. Mary is not dead. This man said that Mary was dead. The saints in heaven are dead. Therefore, you can't pray to them. But the reality is they're not dead. I mean, unless you're Jewish or you're a Muslim and you don't believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead and he rose and conquered sin and shattered death and destroyed the devil and hell. I mean, unless you are of that mindset, we are Christians who believe that he is alive and that he conquered sin and death and he brought everybody to heaven who was worthy. And we believe Mary is alive in heaven. The saints are alive in heaven. And in fact, they're more alive and more incorporated into the body of Christ than we are. The scripture states that God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. Mark 12:27. And since they are alive with Christ, we can ask the angels and the saints to pray and intercede for us. See, the problem is that this man wrongly assumes that praying to saints is blasphemy. That's what he said, because Jesus is the only way to the Father, which we agree with. However, saying that we can't ask anyone to pray for us because Jesus is the only way to the Father is saying that we can't ask friends or family members, pastors or priests, or anyone else here on earth to pray for us, because that would be worship and idolatry, which is, of course, absurd. The reality is that we can ask friends and family to pray for us. We can ask people in heaven to pray for us, and they all take our prayers to Jesus, who is the perfect mediator, and who then takes all of our prayers and brings them perfectly before the Father. So this has nothing to do with blasphemy or idolatry or false worship or anything else. The reality is that the Catholic Church still teaches that Jesus is the only mediator. Jesus is the one who brings our prayers to the Father, and he is our perfect Savior. But we have friends and family on earth and in heaven who pray for us. And we know that they're not dead, because we can see that in Matthew chapter 17. Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah. These are two supposed dead guys who are alive and talking to Jesus. And we also see in Revelation chapter 6 that people in heaven under the altar are begging Jesus. In heaven, mind you, they're begging Jesus, which means they're talking to him and they have to be alive. They're asking him to get vengeance on the people who killed them, because these were the martyrs in heaven. And they're like, "Jesus, you promised us vengeance. When are you going to revenge our blood?" And Jesus says, have patience. There's a few more that need to be filled up. And then I will enact justice, but you have to be patient." So it clearly portrays people in heaven as alive and not dead. And Revelation 5:8 and Revelation 14 show the angels and saints have the prayers of the saints on earth, us. They have our prayers, and they are bringing them before God. So like most anti-Catholics and most people, this man has a lot of misconceptions. He has a lot of misunderstandings of the Catholic faith, even though he was Catholic. The problem is that most anti-Catholics learn their Catholicism. They learn about the Catholic Church after they leave the faith, and they learn it from other sources who themselves have never read a single Catholic book, who have never opened the Catholic Catechism, and don't know anything about the Catholic faith except for what they learned from other people who had no idea what the Catholic faith taught. And it's a vicious cycle that really perpetuates itself and doesn't help to really help people to understand the Catholic faith. And this is why we make videos on our YouTube. This is why we write articles on our blog. This is why we have a podcast to help people know and understand the Catholic faith. So if you want to help us, please share this podcast. Please share this with someone who you know has questions about the Catholic faith, or has attacked you on the Catholic faith, or is anti-Catholic themselves. Why are we waiting for all of these other people to attack us, to ask us questions, to seek out Catholics and to attack their faith? Why don't we do something novel and go evangelize them? Say, hey, check out this podcast. I know you don't agree with the Catholic faith, but I loved this podcast. Can you check it out and let me know what you think about it? And then you can start a discussion on it. Let's evangelize them. Let's share this with other people. Share this on your social media and let's get the word out there. Let's have Catholics too, to start really knowing their faith, to start learning the Bible, to start being able to explain this, even on a basic level, to take some of these explanations and explain them to people who have questions. You don't need to know everything. You don't even need to know a lot. You just need to at least start by knowing the basics and being able to explain them in somewhat of a coherent way. So I hope that this podcast has helped you to do that, to understand your faith in some way and to understand how to answer people who have questions on the faith or attack you on the faith. And if you want to see a lot more of this, we have a ton of articles on our website, thecatholictruth.org, and it's under resources. We have videos, we have articles, and we have a ton of anti-Catholic arguments that we've taken from our YouTube comments and from other places where people attack our faith, and we answer them, not only to show anti-Catholics that they don't understand the Catholic faith, but to help Catholics to be able to defend their own faith and to understand it and to come to love it and know it on a deeper level. So thanks so much for tuning in today. We're so glad that you're here, and we ask that you check out our show notes description below. You can check out our Facebook there. You can see our Instagram. You can follow us on different sources and different social media platforms for daily inspiration. And we ask that you pray for us. We'll pray for you. God bless you.